Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 14th of July, recording at 9:26 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. And Asian stock markets, well, they were mostly steadier, including the China sector and most of the ASEAN markets. And India, despite the bombings that we had in Mumbai, actually closed with modest gains, reasonably good gains for their BANKEX index. European stock markets were lower today, as were the Americas stock markets. Brazil getting the biggest decline, down 1.63%. Wall Street seesawed a little bit, was mostly down in the afternoon and closed with losses, 1.22% for the NASDAQ Composite, 0.67% for the S&P. But those levels were near the lower side of today's activity. Long-dated government bonds, prices were slightly firmer in Europe, weaker in the USA, the long bond down over a point as I speak. More on that in a moment. And the US dollar, the US dollar index steadied, so the euro was a little bit easier here. I'm just looking at what else had contributed to that dollar index steadying. And I see the commodity currencies were a little bit easier in here today, but no big action there. Precious metals had a strong morning. Silver ran up to 39.39 before backing off here. It's 38.46. That's still up nearly 31 cents on the day. And gold having run up to 1594.45, settled just under $9 lower, 1585.90, so nearly 1586. And that's another new high today for gold against the dollar and European currencies. Crude oil in the USA, $2 down. The Brent price, though, was just down a tiny fraction, still steady above $118. Grains and beans shrugged off some earlier profit-taking after yesterday's strong gains. And soybeans actually closed up on the day, and corn almost unchanged, wheat a small loss. And industrial metals more down than up. I think nickel and tin were a little bit firmer, copper a little bit easier. And that's pretty much it. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, you could say that the last 2 days were dominated by Ben Bernanke's testimony. I watched the tape of his opening statement from yesterday's Humphrey Hawkins testimony before the Congressional Finance Committee, and he was quick off the mark with all the things that he could do to stimulate the economy if need be, and that encouraged the media to the financial television programs and investors to believe that QE3 was just around the corner. So we had strong stock markets, we had bond yields going down, and we had precious metals soaring yesterday, as you probably recall. Well, today, I think on reflection, Bernanke concluded that he'd overdone it, and that he and rightly so. And I think Mr. Bernanke would be very keen, as I mentioned before, to avoid a QE3. But at any rate, today he dampened down those expectations and said that he was going to be they were going to watch and wait. They had no immediate plans. And then he forecast stronger growth for the US economy and a diminution in those commodity-driven inflationary pressures. Well, how's that actually going to play out? He's not going to get both right on in other words, he's not going to get both a stronger US economy, and he's forecasting 3% in the fourth quarter, plus lower commodity prices. That just won't happen, in my opinion. The stronger economy is a bit of a well, that's a bold call, and that's very much in the balance because we've got the headwinds coming from Europe's sovereign debt woes, plus the too high commodity price pressures that the U.S. economy is facing at a time when it's already soft. So the stronger U.S. economy is by no means a certainty. And as a matter of fact, I think that goes a little against the odds, but we'll see. But certainly, if he's right in that forecast, for whatever reasons, then I think commodity prices would almost certainly be stronger. And Bernanke probably wouldn't mind that because then he could begin the gradual process of normalizing interest rates and be under less pressure in the run into an election year. However, if the economy is weaker, whatever commodities are doing, he'll be under considerable pressure to provide an additional stimulus, and he's already told us some of the things that he would do, and that would be include buying some of the longer dated bonds. That's what had steadied that market yesterday afternoon. Again, as I said, that was reversed today. Okay, what about all these stock markets? Well, Asia's staying relatively steady. The US market is still holding over half the gains from its June lows. Those June lows remain impressive. There's no so sorry, they remain important. The rallies were impressive, but we've also seen some retracement of those gains in here this week. And it's been a very nervous week, and not surprising when we had European periphery country debt yields just surging to the upside. You know, I've mentioned that before. Those Italian 10-year yields, they started moving upwards last Wednesday. It was a bit gradual. so not everyone noticed, including myself. But come Monday and Tuesday of this week, they're absolutely surging. And we had 100 basis points on the Italian bond going from 5 to 6% in 5 days before falling back yesterday. It was a fractional steadier today, and the Irish bonds also pushed up again today before backing off a little bit. So it's a tense situation there generally. And we're still in this ranging, uncertain period, and the commodity prices are not giving us much respite. They are pushing back up overall on that CCI index, which I posted yesterday. And the Brent crude in particular is uncomfortably high. So again, I think we get more of the same here. Best case scenario is that we get this ranging taking place, mostly to the left of the 200-day moving averages for the stronger markets. Just gonna have a little cough here, just a sec. So that's best case scenario. Stronger markets, Wall Street, developing Asia or growth Asia, being steadiest of all, and that we get into the fourth quarter and things actually pick up a little bit more, particularly if there is some change in monetary policy coming from China and India. Well, we'll just have to see on that. It's not impossible, but those two countries aren't going to know what they're going to be doing on their monetary policy then at this stage. They'd certainly like to be easing back a little bit to stimulate growth a little further, or to just to check the squeeze that they have introduced. But it depends what happens. A $10 swing in the oil price would make a huge difference. If it goes up, we're in trouble. If it goes down, well, that's good news, needless to say. China's situation on inflation pressures is somewhat different. Pork's a big factor. They're doing the best they can to increase those herds, and they are going to be importing a lot of corn, as I've mentioned previously. That's been reflected in the appreciating price this week. So, what about a worst case scenario? Well, the June lows get taken out along with the March lows, and they're pretty well near the same levels, and we would be back in a what I would think would be a mild bear market type of environment. But I certainly wouldn't write off the prospects of a better outcome than that. But there are a lot of trade-offs in here. There are far more questions than answers, but I am pleased to see that Fuller Money Themes are holding up generally well. And it's very easy to think that there's nothing really going on in the world except for Europe's debt problems and the United States' unemployment problems and some overbuilding in China. The corporate profits are not doing badly. Valuations are not bad. We still have negative real interest rates, in other words, below prevailing rates of inflation. That's a tailwind for equities. And as flat as the U.S. economy looks, and then that high unemployment, but the U.S. multinational companies remain in the opposite situation. They have strong balance sheets. Those that are leveraged to the Asian-led growth story are doing extremely well. So, there's no reason for despair here on the part of investors. Equally, there's no reason for overconfidence or complacency. Precious metals. Seasonally, it's a little early for a run to be occurring, but gold has broken out, and that is certainly important. Silver has put in some consolidation during its mean reversion, as have platinum and palladium. So I think, it's sideways to higher over here. We could still get a little bit of choppy action here in this as is normal at this time of year through July and August. But again, more people are interested in gold and silver than ever before. And the integrity of their overall upward trends is very much intact. And I see no evidence that this move is over. So, and it's also it's impressive to see the rebound that has taken place in gold shares this week. That's important. The chances were all along that they were consolidating prior to some renewed strength. It's been a lengthy consolidation, But a lengthy consolidation can support a very good move if we get the strength that I expect to see in the fourth quarter of this year and the first quarter of next year for precious metals. And anything else to mention in here? That grain and bean complex, we've got rough rice pushing through to another new high for the year today. And now we've got a lot of demand. The weather conditions in spring were most unfavorable. It's still a fairly tricky situation in the U.S., which where there's a lot hanging in the balance here. Good weather conditions, which means no drought, no baking heat waves, no flooding, are required here to bump up yield prospects, but then we're going to get a late harvest because of the late sowing of crops in spring due to the cold, wet weather. So it's going to be tricky right on through September, possibly into October. Meanwhile, ethanol using more and more corn, and I think that's madness, but that's what's taking place. The Chinese are definitely going to be importing more corn for their livestock. So it's going to be a tight supply situation. And bottom line here, we've still got a commodity market headwind for the global economy. So, precious metals and other commodities, they're looking attractive. Fuller money themes among equities are hanging in there. They show potential. But those strong commodities, of course, particularly for the industrial commodities and the foods, really cause problems for the global economy. That's the trade-off. On that note, all the best.